Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And what a joy it is for me to be able to greet you in His name. And I'm glad. Debbie and I are glad, actually, that you have chosen to tune in to this little radio program. And I trust and pray and believe that our time together will bring glory and honor to God, who is, who was, and always shall be. What a privilege. What a great day it is. It'll be a good day for the Lord to come if you're ready for Him to come. But if not, friend, listen. I don't care what day it would be. It'd be bad for you. It really will. Well, I've opened my Bible to a very familiar passage of Scripture to Bible readers. I used to say that all the time without putting that little caveat on it. Not everyone that's saved is familiar with the Bible. Maybe some of you are new believers just starting out, and that's understandable. But let me tell you something. Sir, ma'am, if you've been on the way 5 years, 10 years, you ought to already have had your Bible read through a time or two at least. 5, 10 years, come on, let's get with it. We can hear the Word of God read to us if we have reading issues, vision issues, whatever it is. It's not about whether or not we can do it. It's a matter of whether we will do it. Well, I know I'm meddling. I'm stirred up today about a lot of things. Not the message. I'm stirred up about the message I'm going to preach, but the things I'm stirred about, friend, aren't contained in this message. It'll be for another time. But nonetheless, here's Debbie with a song, one of our favorites. I'll tell you, what an honor it is to serve the King. We're happy to be a part of those who can. Listen, I don't have to serve Him. Thank God I get to. He allows me, this old lump of clay, friend, from Boone County, West Virginia, to serve the great I Am that I am. I'll be back. Enjoy.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Then I heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary. It all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice saying one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. The King. Oh, what an honor
you just love that? Thank God, friend, how wonderful it is. And look, you can serve Him, you can praise Him. That's why Jesus came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now that meant me, and that means you, friend. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can today by the grace of God. And listen, that's part of what this message is about. This message, friend, is both for the lost, those men and women whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who, if you were to die today, you wouldn't go to heaven. If you would have to face God in judgment, you would have to reason with Him and tell Him why you rejected His offer of salvation, the advances of the Holy Spirit on your heart, the messages you've heard of the Word of God, the invitations you've had to come and trust Christ as your Savior. I'm looking in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, familiar, like I said, scripture to Bible readers, and all, how lovely that it is. We just came out of the great chapter on men and women who are noted for their faith. Listen, folks, men and women like me and you, men and women of flesh and blood, men and women that are just clay like us, who put their faith in God Almighty and then live like they were. But listen to what He says after He tells us about this great number of witnesses. Listen to what He said. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Now let me tell you something. There's a lot of people believe that the saints in heaven, the Old Testament people, are up there in like a big arena looking down here on earth while we're running our race. I don't believe that. I used to when I was a young Christian, when I first started. But look, friend, listen, wouldn't that be boring? Wouldn't that be the awfulest thing that you could ever think of? I don't believe they're witnesses of us, but here's what I believe Paul is saying. They're witnesses to us. They're saying, hey, listen, friend, we can do it by faith. We can walk by faith. We can work by faith. We can choose by faith. We can obey by faith. We can fight by faith, and all of those other things that those great men and women, Lord, that the Lord had mentioned in that chapter, their life and how they overcame, and how, friend, by the grace of God, they became witnesses to us. Seeing therefore we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. And boy, this would be a good scripture to live by, would it not? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Hey, can I ask you, friend, how you're doing in your race? I'll get to my message in just a few minutes. But how are you doing in your race? We're all in a race. Listen, friend, I can't run like you, and maybe my course is a little different than yours, and yet it's the same in many, many ways. Have you fallen down? Have you sat down? Have you been knocked down? Hey, friend, listen, I believe the coming of the Lord is closer than any time that it's ever existed in my life and your life. I believe it's so close so we could hear Him knocking on the door. Hey, I want you to know, friend, listen, let's run. Hey, listen, let's walk if we have to. Let's just stand when we need to. But oh, let's do what we do for the glory of God. But here's who I'm going to take my message from. He said in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Here's what I want to emphasize. Paul said to this, looking unto Jesus. He had already given us now a list of witnesses to us. I mean, from people like Abel, who offered by faith that blood sacrifice, who a man by the name of Noah, who worked, blessed God and believed God when there was gross apostasy and where the world looked a lot like our day. Well, do you know what that man by the name of Noah did? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know what he was? He was obedient. Oh, what about that man by the name of Enoch? Oh, Enoch is a great man, is he not? Oh, for 65 5 years, he probably walked like the course of the world, other men. But oh, something transpired in his heart and in his life and in his mind when they laid Methuselah in his arms down at Canaan Memorial Hospital. Oh, it changed him. And from that day on, he walked with the Lord. He walked with the Lord until one day he went to be with the Lord. Look, and I'm going to preach chapter 11, but it would go right here. We've got to look the right way, under the right thing. And look, here's my text. It's all about a look. Oh, isn't that something? I mean to tell you, look, if that's applied to many things in this life and many people in this life and this world in which we live, that would be nothing but a statement of vanity. Oh, a lot of people think, friend, a lot of people think how that optics are more important than the real thing. I want you to look at advertising. I want you to think about the billions of dollars that are spent on putting forth the right look. I mean to tell you, people worry about the right way they look on the outside. But may I tell you, friend, listen. Thank God now. Now you listen to what I'm going to say. I know the Bible says that God looketh not on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. But I want you to know something. The Word of God would teach us and does teach us. If we're right on the inside, we'll look right on the outside. Ah, listen, friend. Thank God. Listen, I believe Christians ought to look like Christians, don't you? Somebody say amen right there. And look, friend, look, it's all about the look. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I could preach right there. I believe I could preach anywhere this morning. I just believe that. Bless God. Listen, there's a stirring in my heart. But it's all about the look. I believe you'll find in this message, bless God, that it's like that from the beginning to the end. Hey, friend, it's about the look. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 3 and you see where old Smutty Face, through a form of a serpent, came to Eve and began to tempt her. Oh, you know what happened? She saw, did she not? I mean to tell you, there was a tree that God put in the midst of a garden. And God told him, said, now listen, don't you partake of that tree. Don't you eat of that tree, for in the day that you do, you're going to surely die. Oh, you know what the Bible said? And the Bible said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and the rest is history, and she did eat. Ah, listen, friend, I'll tell you, look. A look from the beginning caused the problem. A look at the wrong thing. A look at the wrong way, in the wrong way. You know what it did? It captivated her. I want you to know it challenged her. It moved something deep within her. And oh, look, a lot of things were energized. A lot of things became alive. Oh, friend, listen, we need to make sure. Let me say that again. That felt so good when I said it. I'm sure I need to say it again. We need to be sure that we're looking at the right thing. That we're looking, friend, and listen, like we ought to look. It's all about the look. You see that look? That look, friend, at that tree. That tree that God said, now listen, you'll be better off if you don't bother it, if you don't eat it, if you don't even ponder about it. Just trust me. Just trust me and leave that thing. I'm the fruit of it alone. It all started with a look. A look caused the problem. And bless God, I'm about to shout right now, hallelujah, a look will cure the problem. I mean to tell you, friend, listen, it's got to be a right look. It's got to be to the right one. It's got to be at the right place for the right reason. And Jesus said here, looking, or Paul said about Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want you to know, friend, listen, as a Christian, we began with a look. We begin our Christian sojourn. We begin our journey in this Christian life and experience by look. And you say, preacher, what do you see? Well, listen, friend, I'll tell you, we see Jesus in all of His glory. And we see Him, bless God, who is and was and always shall be. And we see the only begotten Son of God who entered into this world enter into the stream of humanity through a virgin's womb. Who lived sinlessly among us, died substitutionally for us, who was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third and appointed morning came out from among the dead and said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Way back there in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, familiar scripture to Bible readers, how the Bible said God did when He was telling the nation of Israel that there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. In verse 21, there is none beside me. And in verse 22, He continues and says, He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Listen, friend, we begin with a look. Back in the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel had came out of Egypt, they found themselves in a desert, and you know what? They got discouraged. Boy, they were a wily bunch, were they not? I mean to tell you, God blessed them, manifested Himself to them, provided them day in and day out all of the things that they needed for their sustenance, and then they would murmur at God. They would go against Him with accusations. Well, one day God just got fed up with it when they said, we're tired of the way. When they said, we loathe this light bread. And that light bread was angel food, folks. They were eating the bread of heaven. You would think about that. And they said, we're tired of this. We're just sick and tired of this. Well, God got sick and tired of them. Sent a bunch of fiery serpents among them. And they got bit. Many of them died. You know what they did? They began to think, well, hey, maybe we ought to repent. Maybe we ought to get an intercessor. Maybe we ought to go to Moses and get him to go to God and see what God will do. Have to save us. And you know what God told Moses to do? You take an image of the very thing that caused the problem. And it's a beautiful picture of Jesus and Calvary and the salvation that He provides. I don't have time to expand on it. But He said, you put a brazen image of the very thing that caused the problem. You put it on a pole and lift it up, and everybody that looks at that pole, they'll be healed. Hey, I'm going to tell you, sir, ma'am, I don't care how deeply sin has affected you. We've all been bitten by sin. I don't care, listen, how long you've walked in darkness, how many times you've said no to God. Undoubtedly, He's calling you again today. And oh, if you only look to Him by faith, Him that died as your substitute, Him who knew no sin that became as sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, hey, you can be saved. I mean, the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, when John was introducing the Lord, he said, behold, how the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew people were looking on Him. He knew people were looking to Him. And hey, I want you today to look unto Jesus and live. The Bible said, I am in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Acts 4:12 said, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You know what you need to do? You need to look to Jesus. Listen, friend, it's all about the look. I want you to know we begin by looking and we continue by looking. I like this here, our text verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I tell you something, friend? If we get our eyes off Him, we get in trouble. If you don't believe me, go to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew and read that whole chapter. What a great chapter it was. My God, records one of the greatest, if not the greatest miracle that Jesus performed as he walked on planet Earth. And you say, why do you say that, preacher? It's the only miracle that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John records, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. Oh, it's a great day, was it not? I mean to tell you, God allowed the apostles that he had chosen after spending a night in prayer and to watch him work in a miraculous way with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a multitude. He saw how God could put his touch upon something that man would give to him and how he could multiply it time and again to meet the needs of mankind. Ah, oh, listen, friend, it's all about the look. We can start with the look, but we got to continue. Look, and I'm going to tell you, if I look around all the world situation, I'd never go to my Bible. I'd never go to Calvary. I'd never read the Gospels. I'd never see the instruction that Paul and Peter and James and John gives the church. If I'd never look into the Word of God, listen, friend, I'd go under. That's exactly what happened to Peter in Matthew 14. You remember after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent the apostles across the other side of the sea of Galilee, Gennesaret, have the Sea of Tiberias. It's all of the same body of water. He went into a mountain to pray, and that night, man, listen, they got into the biggest storm that they'd ever seen, I imagine. And most of them there were fishermen, at least some of them were. You know what happened? Jesus came walking to them the fourth watch of the night on the white caps. Hey, listen. And they thought that he was a spirit when they found out it was the Lord. Peter said, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Out of that boat, old Peter went. Thank God. I don't know how far he went. I don't know how many steps he took. As long as he kept his eyes. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was doing okay. Thank God. And a lot of people criticize people because Peter began to sink. But can I tell you something, friend? He's the only one that got out of the boat. I'll tell you, we're crazy, aren't we? And how we think, how we criticize, what conclusions we come to. But listen, friend, you know what we need to do? We not only begin by looking, but we continue by looking. You know what we need to do? We need to keep our eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In the year the king Uzziah died, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, how the Bible said that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up with His train filling the temple. Hey, friend, if we look down, if we look around, we'll get in trouble. But we need to look up to Jesus, the author, the finisher, the sustainer of our faith. And then we'll make it, and we'll overcome, and then we're going to end by faith. Or end by looking. Ah, thank God. Listen to what he said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20. I love this passage of Scripture, don't you? He said, for our conversation, or our citizenship, literally, is in heaven. I'm a citizen of two worlds. Somebody wrote a song like that. Hey, I'm a pilgrim. I'm on my way home. I'm a stranger. I'm away from home. But thank God, after April the 23rd, 1974, I've been a citizen of a new land, of a new country. Hey, friend, it's a place where there's no sin, sorrow, a curse, darkness, a disease, or death. Oh, I'm homesick for home, aren't you today? He said, for our citizenship is in heaven. And here's what I want you to hear, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what Paul says about that to Titus, this young preacher, in chapter 2. And you probably know the verse, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now look, friend, I'll tell you, I get discouraged. I mean to tell you, I get troubled if I look at the wrong things. If I take my eyes off of Him and leave them all for very long, I even get bothered if I'm looking at Christians and not looking looking at Jesus. Or if I look at Christians, I'm without looking at them through the prism of Jesus. I get in trouble if I look at T.K. Price, friend, because of my failures and what I used to be. But oh, when I look to him, hey, it's all about the look. And you say, preacher, my eyes, my vision's not what they used to be. Well, run over there, bless God, to the book of Revelation chapter 3 and go to the one who's got the eye salve. Bless God, he'll put it on. Get in this book we call the Bible. Until we read enough to see him who is, who was, and always shall be. Hey, friend, it's all about the look in the beginning, as it continues, and in the end. And hey, let me tell you a secret. I believe we're closer to the end today than we've ever been before. It's all about the look. We ought to be concerned about how we look in this life as representatives and ambassadors of heaven, that we always ought to look to the right one until we see him. Let's continue by faith until the next time.
Thank you, friends, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.